Sheikh Maher Hamoud, thank you very much for joining Press TV's Face to Face. I was reading the Lebanese newspapers, and on one website, I found something that really caught my attention. This piece, have you seen this?
Yes, of course. I did see this piece, and we were informed by General Abbas Ibrahim, head of Lebanese General Security, some 8 days ago. And he gave us the details and asked us to be cautious, but asked us not to uncover this issue to the media until they announce it themselves. And yesterday, this was announced. Of course, we have knowledge of the Israeli spy cell.
My particular question is that this is a... an espionage team arrested in Lebanon, three people, and they were gathering information for an assassination. There are people who are saying that they were going to assassinate you. Yes. Why would people want to assassinate you?
I believe that our stance has an influence on public opinion and has helped in deterring the major plot which some have been working on since the assassination of former Premier Rafiq Hariri and even before that. This has intensified in the last 4 or 5 years and even more. This plot is mainly sectarian sedition. And we believe that this sedition, especially creating Sunni-Shia strife, is a 100% Israeli plot. Of course, there are historical divisions amongst the Sunnis and Shia, but these daily and condensed political provocations are definitely an Israeli-US-Saudi job. We stand in the face of this conspiracy, and in some instances, we had a role to play in defeating it. I don't want to go into details. I believe that the Israelis want to silence this voice because it stands against the Israeli conspiracy. Also, this agent is a so-called Syrian opposition figure, and we have always exposed their real intentions, since they are linked to the West one way or the other. The fact that the West is presenting him as an alternative to President Assad is a lie. He is worse than anyone can imagine. And according to the confessions of this man, named Ramiz al-Sayyid, who happened to be our neighbor living just meters away, he was the one who actually proposed to the Israelis that he should target me. Because, as he says, this would hurt the resistance. He said this assassination job would hurt the resistance.
In every assassination or assassination attempt, investigators always look for the person or the party that is benefited the most from the act of violence. In Lebanon, assassinations in the past 10 years or so, perhaps Rafiq Hariri, Pierre Jumail, or many other people who were assassinated, and as you said, these assassinations created some sort of a sectarian strife in the country. Who do you think benefits the most from these assassinations in Lebanon?
America, Israel, and Saudi.
The US, Israel, and Saudi Arabia primarily. The truth is, many used to believe, after the assassination of former Premier Rafiq Hariri, that Syria was behind it. Later it was discovered that this is not true. Then they tried to put the blame on Hezbollah, and this is something that no sane man would believe. We believe that the series of bombings, around 20, starting from October 2004, with the bombing against the minister at the time, Marwan Ahmadi, and then February 2005, with the assassination of Rafiq Hariri and the others, which add up to around 20 bombings. I accuse Israel, Israeli agents, and the US of these assassinations, especially that among these bombings, there was one that killed George Howe. True that at the time he was among the March 14 coalition, but the Israelis never forgot that he was the founder of the Lebanese Resistance Front, which had conducted many operations against the Israeli occupation and was successful mainly from the year 1985 to 1990. There was a big number of resistance operations, and George Hawi was one of the founders, and I believe he was killed for that reason. And the intelligence capabilities of the assassinators seem very strong. The fact that Gibran Tweny came from France on a Sunday night and was assassinated on Monday morning in a secretive and very sensitive area. Only an international intelligence agency can do this. I do not believe the Syrians could have this capability, nor is Hezbollah in any way able to do this. This is impossible. Those assassinations were plotted by and paid for by Israel, the US, and Saudi Arabia.
I spoke to former President Emil Lahoud regarding the situation today in the Lebanese politics, and he told me that a lot of top politicians are receiving money from Saudi Arabia. Do you think he's telling us something that
Saudi Arabia will Arabia Saudi wa yani America. طيب في ويكيليكس
Saudi Arabia and the US. In WikiLeaks, Jeffrey Feltman, or whom they call Dearest Jeff, who was US ambassador to Lebanon at the time and oversaw the founding of the Cedar Revolution, which is no secret, he himself says, "We paid in 1 year $500 million to distort the image of the resistance." $500 million, that's half $1 billion that were paid to journalists and politicians. One second-class or third-class journalist told me that he was paid $500,000 to write articles against Hezbollah and the resistance and to find political details to accuse Hezbollah of several issues. These are facts, but they turn a blind eye to these facts. So both the US and Saudi Arabia, and this is no secret, Samir Jaja said it clearly. He said he had nothing and went to Saudi Arabia and they gave him a big sum of money and he came back and paid his debts and so on. This is Samir Jaja, who is an Israeli agent, a murderer, who has not expressed remorse for his crimes, and he receives an incredible amount of money for his security and political work. Huge sums of money were poured into the 2009 elections, and they were mentioned in the papers. I don't even remember the numbers. This is no secret. But they present it as a natural issue, and that they are in their right position. But this is a position resulting from the money coming in from Saudi Arabia and the US. And I would go further and say that Israel is paying also. But Israel is stingy and is not willing to pay much, but takes part with its spy networks.
Today, as we speak, Lebanon does not have a government. Why is this like that? And what's your solution?
What is important is that there is no president. The government is there, although it's not working. But the actual cabinet does exist. Why don't we have a president? The primary candidate and the one who has the potential and characteristics of a president is Michel Aoun. However, Saudi Arabia has completely refused his candidacy. Saudi Arabia, in this period, since the assassination of Rafiq Hariri until now, of course with the help of the US and its allies, is the strongest foreign player in Lebanon. Iran has a major role. Syria's role has diminished since the events in Syria and their withdrawal from Lebanon. There are several countries that have a role in Lebanon. France has a limited role, for example. The main role now is for Saudi Arabia and the US. Saudi Arabia, for instance, has blatantly refused Michel Aoun and left no room for discussion on the issue. Although Samir Jaja himself has accepted that Aoun is a chosen president under a certain agreement, and Saad Hariri has also agreed. At a certain point, the agreement was going to be finalized to have a general settlement in Lebanon in which Aoun would be elected as a consensus president. Saudi Arabia stood against this agreement, and this was unprecedented, that Saudi Arabia stand against a settlement agreed upon by its allies in Lebanon. This is an issue which Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah pointed to in one of his latest speeches, that those with Saudi Arabia are slaves, whereas we, who follow Wilayat al-Faqih have free minds. We are the ones that give our opinion to Iran and we implement our will. We inform Syria of our decision, but you are forced to act as you are told by the US and Israel, of course. Saudi Arabia, this is the main issue. The government is there, although only in form. We inform Syria of our decision, but you are forced to act as you are told by the US and Israel and, of course, Saudi Arabia. This is the main issue. The government is there, although only in form. Now there is a new obstacle, which is that there are sides that are saying there should be no legislation without the existence of a president, despite the fact that Lebanon needs legislation, especially on matters related to money, because we need to settle our agreements with international sides that give loans and make Lebanon part of the world financially and economically. Speaker Birri has warned of a dangerous situation in case the parliament does not meet and said this would be suicide. Even Walid Jumblat, who is considered close to the March 14 coalition, said that his bloc will attend because not attending will be suicide.
بمحور 14 أذار رفض وقال سنحضر لأنه هذا انتحار عدم حضورنا.
The situation in Syria, as we know, it is in a crisis for several years, and there is no end in sight. Now that Russia is involved, and you see Russian airstrikes every day, targeting militant positions, the terrorists all across the country are now being targeted from the sky, which didn't happen before. Do you believe that the Russian airstrikes are going to change the course of this war?
Certainly, the Russian intervention was a positive factor with its accurate targeting of Daesh and the Nusra Front and other groups. I think that things are moving in a good direction. Of course, this does not negate the fact that even with these strikes, ground troops should deploy and take control of the areas. And this needs time, as it seems. The new problem is that if Daesh did have a hand in the crash of the Russian plane in Sinai, since it seems there was a bomb in the luggage of the plane, then this is a dangerous development. If Daesh can infiltrate the Egyptian intelligence and the security at the Sharm el-Sheikh airport, then this is a critical issue. It might lead Russia to rethink her strategy, because now it seems that it will have to pay a high price, which will be paid by its nationals and institutions in the region. Now we understand that Putin or the leadership in Russia is strong and would not have its mind changed by an operation here or there. But they have the right to revise their standpoint. Will this delay the decision or will it not? My presumption is that no, the Russian stance will not change, but that the intervention will increase and intensify. Let's not forget that apart from the plane crash, the US has declared that it has provided the so-called Syrian opposition with Stinger rockets and so on. It is lying when it says it's funding the Syrian opposition. It is funding Daesh and the Nusra Front and other groups who have the same characteristics. They are lying and they are fighting the Russian intervention secretly, although apparently they showed partial agreement on the Russian operation. The political and intelligence map is getting more complicated, but God willing, the developments are for the better.
How do you see the role of Hezbollah in Syria today? Do you think, as a Lebanese, do you think Hezbollah has to be there fighting Daesh inside Syria? Do you support that?
في أول الأمر يعني في أظن أيار 2013 عندما وصلنا أول نبأ.
In the beginning, in I believe it was May 2013, when we received word of Hezbollah's intervention in the areas near the Lebanese border in Syria, we had a deep fear that this would reflect negatively and add to the sectarian tension in the country. I sent Sayyid Hassan a letter at the time, and later I met with some officials, and they presented the issue on clear maps and gave us the satisfying reasons for the intervention. Personally, I was convinced, and I changed my mind. Then there came the bombings in the southern suburbs and Beirut. One of the culprits was from Saida. Mu'in Abu Dahir, the one who blew himself up at the gates of the Iranian embassy. Many of the bomb-laden cars were being prepared in Yabrud specifically or in areas controlled by the Nusra Front and Daesh, and that many of them also came from the outskirts of Arsal. Hezbollah was able to end this phenomenon, and now there are no bomb-laden cars. Whoever opposes Hezbollah's intervention in Syria to fight Daesh and Nusra is foolish and does not understand politics, nor does he understand what is happening on the ground. This intervention was beneficial for all of Lebanon, because the bombings target everyone, not only the Shia, and they were not conducted only in Shia areas. For example, the Iranian embassy is in a Sunni area, and more Sunnis than Shia died in the explosion, and many Palestinians also. Anyone who welcomes such bombings, even if they are against Hezbollah or Syria politically, then this person is a criminal, just like Daesh and al-Nusra. And those who call on Hezbollah to withdraw from Syria, that means they are calling for more bombings, and this is criminal. Therefore, yes, we support Hezbollah's intervention in Syria and see that it has benefited all Lebanese.
Year 2006, Israel attacked your country and Hezbollah defended your country. Do you think the Lebanese army could defend your country without Hezbollah helping?
Of course not. The Lebanese army cannot do it alone. No, of course, the Lebanese army is a significant institution. It has a very crucial role in holding the Lebanese house together and deterring sedition. The army has proven in the last 10 years that it is the primary institution which can preserve civil peace in Lebanon and preserve the unity of the Lebanese people. This is clear in several instances. However, in facing Israel, the type of armament which the Lebanese army and the structure of the Lebanese army does not allow it to face the Israelis. As you know, the resistance targets the Israelis from tunnels using sophisticated rockets and with vast intelligence that enables it to observe and target the Israelis. Hezbollah was able to hit important targets in Haifa and in all areas in Palestine. The army now is incapable of doing the same. It does not have the necessary intelligence capabilities. It does not have the kind of arms and does not have the decision, because the army needs political decision and Lebanon is divided politically. As you mentioned earlier, some Lebanese politicians don't consider Israel an enemy, and there are some who consider that Hezbollah is to blame for the war since it captured two Israeli soldiers, while the Israeli Vinograd report did not even mention the two Israeli soldiers. It considered that the attack against Lebanon was planned for, disregarding the kidnapping of two Israeli soldiers by Hezbollah to swap them for the Lebanese prisoners. At the time, the stance of the Prime Minister Sanyura and his team was extremely negative to the extent that it seemed to welcome the Israeli aggression against Lebanon. When Condoleezza Rice sat with March 14 in the U.S. Embassy in Aukar and said that they will extract and hit the resistance in 1 week, not one of those meeting her said that this attack is hitting our infrastructure, destroying our bridges, targeting our airport and electricity. No one opposed the attack. So basically, those who met Condoleezza Rice in the embassy in the beginning of the war in 2006 were actually taking part in the aggression because they did not say a single word against it. And they agreed that the resistance should be removed by the U.S.-Israeli aggression. As a reminder, all the Israeli wars in 1948, 1967, 1978, 1982, 2000, and so on were an Israeli decision with U.S. support, except the 2006 war, which was a U.S. decision with Israeli implementation. This was no secret. It was in all the papers. When Rice came to Lebanon, all of them agreed with her. So in that case, they also took part in the aggression. Those people should be part of a political decision that would allow the army to face Israel. And such people would never ask the army to face Israel. The Lebanese army is an official institution that needs a political decision, whereas the resistance is a popular movement and relies on the popular support that it has, which is a huge support from the absolute majority of the Lebanese people. I would say at least 70% of the Lebanese people support Hezbollah, whether against the Israelis or in their fight against the Takfiris.
You just mentioned the word Takfiris in Syria. How these Takfiris were created? And because these people, do you consider these people as Muslim in the first place? Do you think Takfiris are Muslim?
It is not easy to designate these people as Muslims or not. But the Prophet's words on the Khawarij is that they entered Islam and then withdrew from Islam. He said, quote, "They will leave the religion as an arrow leaves its target. You would find your prayers insignificant as opposed to their prayers." The Prophet describes their prayers as being extremely good, and their fasting and their worship in general, and their humbleness in life. This is supposed to portray them as Muslims, but their practice is not based on Islam. Accusing others of infidelity and killing others, so he said they pass through religion and then leave like an arrow goes astray. He also said they are the dogs of hell, and then he says, blessed are those who fight them and are killed by them. These are the Khawarij, which were present in the year 36 and 37 on the Islamic calendar at the time of Imam Ali. These characteristics could be applied to Daesh and Nusra. Can we say they were Muslims and stop being Muslims? Or can we say they are Muslims with a different ideology? It is not clear, but at the end, their practice is the work of non-Muslims and infidels, and in Judgment Day, they should be with the infidels. This cannot be applied to everyone. There are some young boys who are brainwashed. Maybe God will forgive them because they are not aware of what they do. But those who are older will not be forgiven. The ones who are older and are considered clerics, I have no doubt that they are not Muslims.
Now that Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Ahmet Davutoğlu have won a landslide victory in the elections in Turkey, what's your message to Erdogan?
رسالتي إلى أردوغان أن اتق الله قام على صعيد
My message to Erdogan is to have piousness. The level of worship he has made achievements many people have lauded. I have had discussions on the phone or via internet with those who support Erdogan. For example, he has allowed girls to wear the veil in universities and schools. He has allowed Turkish soldiers to pray collectively. I received a photo of a huge number of Turkish soldiers praying Jama'ah. He also excels in his prayers and recites Quran perfectly. These are wonderful traits, however. Do these characteristics count when you are responsible for destroying Syria and supporting Daesh? Would there be room for prayer? Would there be any good deeds left? When you are supporting the worst human beings on the face of this earth like Daesh and Nusra, and you are directly taking part in destroying Syria with the pretext of changing the regime, is this the way you change a government? Is this for the better? Is this the way you defend the Syrian people? These are lies. The Prophet's words are clear. With such crimes, there would be no deeds left. If we put prayers, fasting, hijab, and religion on one side, and the blood of one Muslim on the other, would the deeds remain? The blood will be elevated. That's one Muslim's blood. How about if there were thousands dying with your weapons? Or the weapons of those you are supporting. What is the price of prayers? Read the Prophet's hadith. If you do not have clerics to interpret for you, then ask us. The hadith on the bankrupt, when one man asked the Prophet who is considered bankrupt, the Prophet says, it is the one who faces God with prayers, fasting and good deeds, but has hurt this person and cursed this person or killed this person. These people take his deeds and nothing is left for him. And even their bad deeds are given to him. and he's thrown into hell. That is the bankrupt. Erdogan, you are bankrupt. With all your religious and economic achievements in Turkey, which led you to win a new round of elections, for God, you are considered bankrupt. Because the people you have killed with your arms or the arms of Daesh and your criminal stance in supporting the criminals leaves prayers with no value and all other worship insignificant. He should be pious and ask the good clerics about this issue. Here I asked Najmuddin Erbakan, who is the mentor of Erdogan, what is his stance? Najmuddin Erbakan, who founded modern political Islam, accused Erdogan of being a traitor when he began relations with the US and Israel, or at least the US and Saudi Arabia, and the sides that create this Saudi Islam or American Islam. I told one person that even if everyone in Turkey began to pray and fast and all the women are veiled, but that it remained under the US umbrella, then where will this take us? Just like in Saudi Arabia, all the women are veiled. The Hajj sites are extraordinary. But would Saudi Arabia take any decision facing the US or Israel? We all saw what they did with Gaza. They participated in the aggression against Gaza. In 2006, they took part in the aggression, in their political stance and decisions, and perhaps in other issues. What is the value of such Islam? What is the value of good prayers, and fasting, and worship, and mosques, and hijab, and religion, and praise to God, while you are still under the dictates of the US and cannot take one decision in facing Israel or the arrogance and the theft of our natural resources and petrol, in addition to fighting the resistance, which is the only factor that would let us have pride in our modern history.
Sheikh Mohammed Hamoud, thank you very much.